produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, welcome to my Father's Teachings. My name is Terrence Burton. I'm so excited about the word that we're going to get into today. But before we get into it, we're going to slow ourselves down, praise God. But before we get into that word, let's pray and go before the Father and yield ourselves to His Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory, honor, and praise. I salute you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you that you always cause us to triumph in Christ. Father, thank you for the lessons that you've been unfolding to us about being peacemakers. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and thank you for opening up our hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to us. Father, by your Spirit, illuminate our understanding and help us to see peace in ways that we had not seen before. And Jesus be glorified. Amen. And thank God. All right. We've been talking about over the last few lessons, we've been talking about being peacemakers. And so just to kind of give you a brief recap, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the recap, because sometimes what I've noticed is that I can get so into giving you the recap that it leaves a little bit of time to get into the meat, because I really do like being thorough even with the recaps. But we're not going to do that today. We're going to go through and do a little bit of a recap, first starting off with our focus scripture about being peacemakers, coming from Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And just to remind you what the word peace, to remind you of what a peacemaker is or what peace is. Peace means to pacify. It has to do with absence of conflict, and it means for things to be complete. So a peacemaker is one who brings about those things. They pacify things or calm things down. They complete things. They resolve conflict. And one of the beautiful things to note is that in order to be a peacemaker, it does not require that the situation already be peaceful, because a peacemaker is someone who actually makes it peaceful. There's a difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. A peacekeeper is someone who keeps things from getting unraveled, but a peacemaker is someone who's able to take a situation that's already raveled, that's already disheveled, and actually turn it into a situation of calmness, of tranquility, resolving conflict and make it complete. All right. So there were five. Well, let me back up before I complete that statement about five. There are three things that we need in order to make peace. Three basic things. It's tools, know-how, and the will to do. And I might also add that we need those three things regardless of what the subject matter is. You need tools, know-how, and the will to do. But our subject matter right now is peace. So we need tools, know-how, and the will to do. And so regarding tools, we're on a journey to walk through what these tools are in our tool-making kit. Just like a plumber has certain tools in his toolbox, in his kit, that he pulls out in order to use when he's actually fixing the plumbing at a home or at a business. And so likewise, what I want you to see is see yourself as a plumber or an electrician or what have you. And it's your job. Praise God. Watch this. The plumber is not necessarily fixing a job that he created, fixing a problem that he created. He's fixing a problem that was created by someone else, and he has tools to get that done. And he understands, and he doesn't get angry. He just goes in and he fixes that leak or what have you, even though he was not the one responsible for causing it. Well, why is that important? As we see ourselves as peacemakers, as we see ourselves as spiritual plumbers, so to speak, as workmen for God, we need to understand that we've been assigned to fix problems that we didn't cause. Let me say that again. We've been assigned by the Father to fix problems that we didn't cause. We're peacemakers. It doesn't mean you created the problem, but because you're a peacemaker, and because you have the know-how and the will to do, and you've got the tools, then you can go in and you can fix a problem that wasn't even caused by you. So the five tools that we're identifying, some of these we've already covered in previous lessons. Go back and listen to those. But the five peacemaking tools that we've identified is thinking / imagination. That's number one. Number two, seeking or looking for peace. Three, prayer, where you're actually praying for peace. Four, we're talking about actions, and that's where we are now. And the fifth tool that we're going to talk about is put to death enmity, or the reasons for the conflict. So we're going to hang our hat right here on actions for this particular lesson. Now, our focus scripture for today is Romans 14, verse 19. And it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. So what is Paul saying here? That peace is to be pursued. So what I want you to understand is that peace is not automatic. It's something that requires your pursuit. He said, follow after the things which make for peace. And this is what I want you to understand. There are behaviors that contribute to peace, and there are behaviors that take from peace. And so you have to really think about this, that if I want peace, I need to make sure that I have behaviors, I've got practices in play that are in harmony with the peace that I'm in pursuit of. So I have to line up my behaviors with my prayers. I have to line up my behaviors with what I'm thinking. I have to line up my behavior with what I'm meditating on, what I'm looking for, and just everything. I have to make sure that my entire person is in harmony, that every part of me is communicating the same message, which is that I want peace. And so in order to do that, and see, that's why I wanted to start with the areas that we would call maybe more spiritual first, when you talk about praying, seeking, and things of that nature, to move on to how do we put this into practice, because we need both the spiritual and we need the practical. It's not that we need one or the other. We need to make sure that we're merging the spiritual and the practical. We're not just doing things, and we're also not just praying. We're doing both. I love to use the cake analogy. You're not picking between if I'm going to use flour or butter. I'm going to use flour and butter. I'm not picking between the ingredients. I'm using all the ingredients necessary to bring about the end that I intend, that I plan for. And so likewise, when it comes to peace, I'm not picking between the tools that I'm going to use. I'm going to do things that actually make for peace. Now, if I'm going to do things that make for peace, then that means I also need to eliminate things from my heart, from my mind, from my behavior that are contrary to it. So I need to make sure that I'm not participating in behavior that conflicts with my peace. For example, let's say you want peace at work, but then you come in with a negative attitude. You come in chewing people out. You come in believing that everybody's against you, and so you got your guards up and you're ready to fight. That's not the attitude of somebody who's actually there to bring about a peaceful end. So that means that we have to do the meditation work on the front end, where we see the environment the way that we desire it to be, in a peaceful state. We pray for it. We look for it. And so we're making all these attitude adjustments within ourselves, so that we go in bringing peace. We're bringing peace into this situation. And so then we allow our behavior to match the attitude that we've already developed before we stepped in. So what I want to do is give you a few things that we can do, that, so a few actions and what have you, that will actually contribute to the target of making peace. So the first thing I want to give you, the first act I want to give you, is practice forgiveness. That's something that you can do, that you can follow after in order to make peace. Make forgiveness your practice. Here's what we need to understand. People will fail you. If you need to write that down, write it down. People will fail you. And the problem that we run into regarding that is that the failure of other people, we tend to allow to disturb our peace. They fail you, so you lose peace. And we need to no longer allow that to become a trigger for us, with the acceptance that, you know what, I'm dealing with a human. And there are times when humans disappoint us. There are times when I disappoint myself. There are times when I disappoint others. So with disappointment being such a regular part of human life and existence, I don't need to allow that to become such an easy tripping point. I don't need that to become such an easy way for my peace to be disturbed. So I'm going to live my life practicing forgiveness, because I understand that sometimes people don't do right by me. So if I'm going to have peace, I need to practice forgiveness. Because really, forgiveness benefits the forgiver. There's a statement that I heard years ago, and it still holds true, that unforgiveness is like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. And so we need to eliminate unforgiveness from our tool belt. We need to take the unforgiveness from our kit, pour it out into the drainage, and be done with it. Why? Because the practice of unforgiveness will not help me reach my end of peace. I have to practice forgiveness for that. Well, what does that mean? I have to practice forgiveness. Does that mean I let people run over me? No, it doesn't mean that you let people run over you. Forgiveness does not mean that you don't confront people when they're wrong. It doesn't mean that you lay down and let people run over you. That's not what forgiveness means. I taught someone this years ago, and it was a lesson that I learned from the Lord. And actually, I've taught this a few different occasions, both publicly and in private conversations, that when somebody does me wrong, it's common for people to say that's all right. And I don't say that's all right. When somebody apologizes to me, I tell them I forgive them. Well, what's the difference? If I say it's all right, I could be implying that what they did to me was all right. And that's not all right. It's not all right to offend me. It's not all right to do me wrong. But when I say I forgive you, what I'm saying is that, yes, you did do something that offended me, but I'm not holding that against you. I release you of it. I'm not going to hold that as a debt over you, even though you did me wrong. So it's acknowledging. So forgiveness and saying that I forgive you is saying I acknowledge the wrong done to me, but I'm not holding it against you. Because you want to communicate to the person that what they did was wrong. You never want to act like it's okay to mistreat you. The person needs to understand that whatever was done was offensive, but I'm not holding that against you. I hope you see the difference. So we want to let things go, and we want to make sure that we're not walking around holding grudges. You know, because there are people out there who are holding grudges. I've heard of people holding grudges for decades. They're angry about things that happened 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. And so what happened is that offense became a place of bondage for them. You can't have peace holding grudges. How do you hold peace and grudge at the same time? The answer is you can't. So you have to let one go to hold the other. So you can't hold peace while you're holding the grudge. So if you want peace, you have to let go of the grudge to have it. All right? Because you don't want your hands full. All right. Let's move on to the second action that I'm going to give you to take. So first, we want to practice forgiveness, letting people go. The next thing that I want to encourage you to do to make peace is encourage communication between opposing sides. Here's what I mean. Sometimes you find yourself in the middle of an altercation, meaning that you've got two different people or two different parties where there's a conflict. Both parties may be coming to you. And so what's important for you as the peacemaker is to encourage them to communicate with each other. And here's why that's important. Oftentimes in human interactions, the reason that there is a conflict is because people don't talk to each other. They don't communicate with each other. They don't say, look, when you did such and such, it offended me. When you did such and such, that hurt me. They just get mad, get revenge, and then to the other person, they're like, why is this person treating me like this? And it's because there was no dialogue between them. Because here's what communication does for both parties. It actually postures you to have empathy. And well, what does empathy mean? Empathy has to do with where you actually understand that person, because through their words, they actually help you to see things from their vantage point. Now, in order for that to work, here's what you need to understand, that you need to prioritize listening over speaking. Let me say that again. In order for that dialogue to be fruitful, because remember, you're going to have both talking and listening, but in order for it to be productive and bring about the intent, which is peace, you have to prioritize listening above speaking. In other words, you're not listening just so you can talk and rebuff what they're saying. You're listening because it's important you understand the goal of the conversation. The goal of the conversation is to get understanding, to get empathy. So that's why you let the person talk so they can communicate their heart. In that moment, it doesn't matter if you disagree. They're just telling things from their vantage point. And so once they finish communicating things from their vantage point, now the door is open for you to share things from your vantage point. So what you've done is you both have allowed each other to speak while listening to the other, so that both parties are able to hear things from the other person's vantage point. And see, then you can probably say, well, you know what? I see how you saw that. That was not how I meant it, but I can at least understand why you saw things that way. And I apologize for X, Y, and Z, because I did not mean it that way. I had no intent to hurt you or whatever the result was that I did to you. And I'm sorry. And so we could resolve a whole lot of issues with people having conversations. Now, let me say this while I'm talking about communication between both parties. One of the mistakes that happens in current day is instead of people making peace by dialoguing with each other, they go and blast folks on social media. They make Facebook posts trying to get people to side with them. And as you're doing that, you're showing that you're acting like an enemy, and you're acting like that person is an enemy, as if the objective is to win an argument or disagreement or win people to your side, as opposed to winning peace. The goal should be winning peace, not likes, not comments, not shares, not people siding with you, patting you on the back, telling you you the whatever. The objective should be peace. All right. So as a peacemaker, we want to practice forgiveness, and we also want to encourage dialogue or communication between opposing sides or parties. A third thing that I want to give you as an action is practice gratitude. Now, I'm saying action, but when I think about words or the way that you talk, things that you say are an action. You're speaking, you're opening your mouth, and you're communicating things. So when the Bible says do things that make for peace, speaking is something that you would be doing. And so when I say practice gratitude, here's what I mean. Think about the good things that are happening in your life. Because sometimes we can become so overwhelmed by the things that are happening in our life that are not going well. But if we start practicing gratitude, telling God, thank you. Thank you for another day. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my job, my health, my friends. Thank you for those in my life who encourage me in those times where I may not be feeling my best. Thank you for everybody in my life that you've blessed me with, who love me and who genuinely care about me. Thank you. Two of the most powerful words we could ever utter would be thank you. And not only that, when you think about the good that's in people, I know it's the, what's that saying? It's the squeaky wheel that gets the attention or that gets the oil. But we need to shift that at times. And yes, you do need to oil the squeaky wheel. But we need to think about, wait a minute, I'm focused on this thing that this person did that bothered me. But I need to start really thinking about and appreciating the things about this person that bless me, that benefit me, that make me feel good, that I enjoy. How many relationships are destroyed? Not because there's not enough good, or not even because bad things happen. Sometimes relationships are destroyed because of ingratitude. People are thinking about the one thing that the person did that was bad, instead of celebrating the hundreds of things that they did that were good, because that one bad thing is the thing that tends to get the attention, while neglecting to think about and to praise all the good that this person is bringing to the table. And see, if we would start doing that, we would have much better relationships, because we're practicing gratitude and we're making the other person feel like they're appreciated for what we've done. I mean, for what they've done. Because otherwise, we're going contrary to peace. Because keep in mind, we are doing these things because we want to make sure we're doing things that follow after peace. And these are some of those things that actually will cause peace to manifest in your life. So just as a recap, before we close, this time has really gotten away from us, but that's fine. We'll be able to move on to the next point on the next lesson. So we want to make sure that we're doing things that make for peace. And three things that you can utilize right now is practice forgiveness. Well, how do I know I can practice right now? There's somebody who has offended you in the past. there's somebody who probably will offend you today or tomorrow. So at some point, you can utilize the practice of forgiveness, the practice of letting people go and not holding things against them. The second thing we talked about is encourage communication between opposing sides. So the next time that somebody brings up an issue with you, encourage them to talk with each other. Even if it means, and it might be good if you mediate it, but encourage them to talk to each other as opposed to talk to you about each other. So encourage the communication between opposing sides. And then the third thing, as we just talked about, is practice gratitude. Practice finding the good in your life. Practice finding the good in other people. Just make it a practice to find the good. I'm going to close with this. I have a statement on my iPad and on my phone that I look at every day. And it says, look for things that you like. And that's a reminder to me to make it a point on each day to look for things that I like, to look for things that I enjoy. Because that, my friend, will keep me in a place of peace as I continue to pursue peace in my own life, in my own situations. With that being said, we're going to close out the show. God bless you. I love you and look forward to talking to you next time. God bless you. Bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.